Okay, today's daf is Daf Lamed, and we're holding by Omar Rav Chista, quarter of the way down. Omar Rav Chista, Hakol Modim Beba'al HaNida, although we had some question about needing to be able to be Mekayim this woman, or it should be Shayach Kedushin for this woman in order to be able to be Chayav Knas, but when it comes to a Nida, even though Lamaisa the Ba'al HaNida is at the time that he's Ba'al Eha, she's Asura, but he certainly is Mishalim Knas, because if the Svar is Laman Yomar Yeshba Havaya, that all you need to be able to do is to have a marriage, you certainly have a marriage with Anita, Nami Yeshba Havaya, Laman Yomar Ruya Lakaima, or Nami Ruya Lakaima, you could certainly marry a woman just because at the time, of the Ode, she was Anita, that doesn't preclude marrying her, and therefore Anita is certainly not included. Now, similar, that the next words, Tosis's approach, would be possibly that this statement is Lafukin Rim Lechuni Ben Akana. In other words, Rim Lechuni Ben Akana, who says, Yom HaKippurim K'Shabbos L'Tashlumin, so he says that there's another issue with the Nida. In other words, the Nida is a Chiyuv Karet. And the Nida being a Chiyuv Karet is the same, according to Rim Lechuni Ben Akana, the equivalent of a Chiyuv Misa, because according to Rim Lechuni Ben Akana, Yom HaKippurim is like Shabbos l'tashlumim. Just Shabbos is mitchayev and afshur potter min ha-tashlumim. Av Yom HaKippurim mitchayev and afshur potter min ha-tashlumim. It says if you light a guy's field on Shabbos, you're potter because you're chayev misa for the lighting. On Yom Kippur, you'd be potter because you're chayev karet for the lighting. Now that's one approach. Rashi does not agree with that approach. And according to it, we'd have to say that according to Rav Chista, we're taking into consideration that nobody holds a Rav Nechuni ben Akana. In other words, when I say that everybody agrees you'd be chayev for even though the Nida is a Chiyuv Karet, but you certainly would be Chayuv Knas, that means I'm telling you nobody agrees with Mechuni Ben Akana. Now Rashi avoids that whole issue by saying Lafuki, the Mishnah, is Lafuki Rim Mechuni Ben Akana. What we've discovered is that we have a major Machlokis Tanoim. We haven't completed even the Machlokis Tanoim. We'll see there's more to it as to what set of women are included in a Nahara HaMu'urasa, for which one would be Chayev Knas. Now, there's two issues that we've raised so far, one of which is that, of course, on any woman where the intercourse would be Mechayev Misa, obviously can't be Mechayev Tashlumin because of Kamalai Bidrav Minei, and therefore we exclude any women that are Arayot of Chiyuv Mitas. Someone who rapes his own daughter, for instance, would not be Chayev in Tashlumin. We'll see that later on in the Mishnah, actually, the Farish, that case. Then we had another case, which were cases of women where there is an Isser Lav, and we had a third case where there's cases of women where there's an Isser Karet. So when it comes to the Isser Lav, we found yesterday that actually not everybody agrees, and that we had two further Tanoim. We had Shimon HaTimni, on the one hand, who was saying that you need to be able to have a kiyum of the kedushin, so you need to have avaya. We had Reb Shimon ben Manasseh who says it's worse than that. It's that the woman has to be ruya lekayma because the Torah says velo tia leisha is supposed to take her as a wife, which would mean that even if there were an iser lav, and that would exclude both cases. So the case of karet is definitely out according to Shimon HaTimni. That said, the case of lavin is definitely out according to Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. That said, so we have at least three shitot. How far? We would also have excluded things that we didn't even mention in the Mishnah, would be also where there would be a chiev of an asay, let's say mitzvah adomi, where it's only the implication of the fact that the Torah said dor shlishi yavo, but that if it would be dor sheni mashma, the Torah is saying not, but that's a lava b'michlal asay, it's only an asay, would also be not included in the chiev of knas, according to Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, because it's not ro'ui for havaya. The only discussion we had yesterday were the semantics of whether it's a shayach. I mean, l'kayma. Is it shayach to use the word havaya, or does it need to be differentiated with l'kayma? The last thing we said was that it could be the case of l'kayma is necessary to say for one case, which would be the case of a bu'ula to a kohen gadol, where she was either his own bu'ula, and therefore there would be still a knas, because he was the one who made her a non-bitula, but he can't be mekayem her. Or it could be talking about a bu'ula shelo kedarka, and that b'chlal was a machlokas, a bu'ula shelo kedarka, which l'gavi the kohen asers. And now, so he ends up being the ma'anes, unfortunately. Now, the shiloh over there was, why is that case any different? Why would there be havai in that case and just not ainu ru'ya l'kaima? So the Gemara said an interesting teretz in the end, which is that it's ina shava b'kol, which l'chora cannot mean what it normally means, ina shava b'kol, which we had also by a bu'ula, by an amona l'kohen gadol. So okay, maybe that's good. It's a lav shena shava b'kol, or we had other terutzim. One of the most fascinating terutzim actually is Rabbi Yeager's teretz, which is that he brings a raya from elsewhere that a mitzvah, an iser, that is not chal on women as it is on men, is called ena shava b'kol. And what's interesting is that normally we say that the woman and the man is one iser when it comes to, but since over here by the Kohen Gadol, it's purely a function of his suitability, shabib tulea yikach, there's no iser of her, on her, on sleeping with this Kohen Gadol. And so the mele, he tainas that if that's the case, then that's a ina shava b'kol, because it's an iser that is not shava both by men and women. Okay. In any event, so far we've had really three different shitot. We had a ton of our Mishnah. We have Shimon HaTimni, who excludes one of the clauses of the Mishnah, which is the one about Kores. I mean, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. However, there's also another assumption that's made by our Mishnah, and that assumption is that although the Tana was willing to go along with excluding from the din of Knas any woman who would be chayev, a chiev of Misa, but nonetheless a chiev of Kores, according to our Tana, is not the equivalent of a chiev of Misa. So Kores is considered to be chayev, and we don't worry about Komlei ben Rabbi Minei. In other words, forget about the issue whether Ruya Lekaima or whether Yeshua Avaya. There was that other question, which is that you don't pay a knas, where you're also being chayev. So that we said, okay, as long as it's not a chiyuv misa, apparently our Tana holds, it's okay. But that, says the Gemara today, is not true according to everybody, because our Mishnah not only is lafuki Shimon HaTimni and lafuki from Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, it's also the lafuki Reb Nechunya ben Akon, and that's what we're up to today. And Daf Lamed, which is two lines down from the third of the way down, Lafuke. Lafuke Reb Nechunya ben Akona, the Tani Reb Nechunya ben Akona, Hayahu said, Yom HaKippurim Kishabat HaTashlumim. Reb Nechunya ben Akona said, Yom Kippur, which is a Chiyuv Karet, is no different than it comes to Shabbat. So let's say somebody goes and burns down another guy's field on Shabbat. He's not Chayev, because he's Chayev for the lighting, he's Chayev Misa, because of Shabbos. So Reb Nechunya ben Akona said, and if it were Yom Kippur, even though there's no Chiyuv Mita, but there's a Chiyuv of Karet, so it's the same thing, the same way he's Potter, because Kim Le'Bin Rabbi Minei and a Chiyuv Mita, he's Potter on Yom HaKippurim because of Kim Le'Bin Rabbi Minei, because of a Chiyuv Karet. And if that's the case, it's true over here also, the same way that he's Potter on Bito, let's say, Ma'ane said Bito is Potter because it's Kim Le'Bin Rabbi Minei Chiyuv Mita, it would also be Potter on Achoto, which our mission lists. But the Achoto is a Chiyuv Karet, so there would be no Chiyuv of Tashlumim of Knas. The time of the Reb Nechunya ben Akona. What indeed is the logic behind Reb Nechunya? What's his proof that Karet and Mita is the same thing? Omar Abaye, Ne'emar Ason Bidei Adam, Ne'emar Ason Bidei Shamayim. We know the Torah tells us, the Farish, that if there would be Ason, in other words, the classic case of a king bit of Rabbi Minei, this Farish in the Torah, is where you have someone who causes the death of a woman's fetus. So over there it says, Im lo yason, anosh yanesh. If there is no tragedy, meaning that he didn't kill the woman and therefore he would be chayav misa, so then he has to pay kasher yashit alav. But if there is a tragedy and he ends up killing the woman, then he doesn't pay. So you see that there's a king bit of Rabbi Minei. But that lashon of ason, says Reb Nechunya ben Akona, at least according to Abaye's reasoning, the lashon of ason is said on things that occur bidei shamayim also, not only things that occur bidei adam. It's true in that Mishnah we're talking about murder and the results of murder, which are also bidei adam, that the Beis Din will kill you. But we find also when Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef along with the brothers, so he was very, very fearful to send him, and he said originally, look, I don't want to send him, I'll let him go with you, though, but some kind of tragedy could happen. Now, obviously, the Ason Baderach is not limited to an Ason that's going to be necessarily Bidei Adam, because there's Ason Bidei Shamai. Even so, the Gemara will take that into consideration later. Ason Bidei Shamai is just like Ason, Ha'amur Bidei Adam, Patumina Tashlumim, Ha'afason Ha'amur Bidei Shamai, Patumina Tashlumim. So we're assuming that Yaakov Avinu was warning them, you know, you never know, there might be something bidei shamayim could happen also. I mean, he might get sick on the way, whatever. The one's going to ask exactly what the circumstances are. Maskev lo Rav Abba Bar Abba. Rav Bar Abba says, how do you know that when Yaakov Avinu was referring to an ason, he was referring to an ason bidei shamayim? Maybe he was referring to an ason bidei adam. So how do you know that Yaakov was warning his children about the danger of, let's say, tzinim upachim, that he may get overheated and end up sick, or he may get chilled on the way and end up sick, which is bidei shamayim? Maybe he was talking about an attack of a lion or an attack of ganavim, which is essentially bidei adam. I mean, they were talking about physical things that are going to affect him. Come on. I mean, to Yaakov, obviously Yaakov was afraid something would happen, whatever the heck would happen. I mean, I'm only going to warn you about a lion eating him. I'm not going to warn you about his getting sick. I mean, I don't want him out of his normal environment where there's an element of protection. A person exposes himself to travel or to any mokum sakana, and at that point, the midas hadin can attack him. Obviously, Yaakov Avinu was al kol mili yisdor. By the way, I didn't understand your question. You're calling, very strange, you're calling tzinim upachim. So somebody gets sick, that's called bidei shamayim. Why is tzinim upachim called bidei shamayim? Tanya, called bidei shamayim chutz b'tzinim upachim. I mean, a person is able to, he's got brains, he's able to take care of himself, and it's cold outside, so wear something, you know. If it's raining, so put on a raincoat. I mean, I understand why in the world would you necessarily have to get sick just because you're outside? I mean, so that's the purpose of having a brain, huh? So why would that be called? It says everything is b'deishamayim except for tzinim upachim. Shenemar tzinim upachim baderech ikesh. It's only a really stubborn idiot that's going to come in. Now, I'm not taking a coat. Shomenavsha, yirchak me'am. You know, somebody who cares about his life doesn't expose himself to things that are going to kill him. You have to bedafka catch pneumonia. So if you catch pneumonia, we're going to say that that's kakol b'deishamayim. People say that all the time. Oh, it's a kol b'deishamayim. Now, what can you do?
But he's the youngest. He would be most likely to say, I don't need a coat. Being told, put on a coat.
But we don't think he's a verification. But whatever it is, it's certainly not bidei adam, bidei shamayim. If that's what you're worried about, so fine. Yaakov treated him that way, good. But then you don't call that bidei. It's only a semantic argument. I agree with you. Of course, he was worried about everything. So maybe he thought his kid wouldn't put on a coat either. But the bottom line is, don't tell me. Why are you calling that bidei shamayim? That's the last thing that's called bidei shamayim. If anything is bidei shamayim, it's not tzinim upachim. That's what the Tana is saying. So how can you call that tzinim upachim? It's almost like the ikshut of bedafka calling what the Tana says isn't tzinim upachim, isn't bidei shamayim. So, well, wasn't that bidei shamayim? I'm like, there's got to be a reason why you would do that. And furthermore, I don't like the business about you saying about it, but if he's attacked by a lion, or if he's attacked by ganavim, then that you're calling, that's bidei adam. Why is that bidei adam? Why isn't that bidei shamayim? I mean, that's bedafka bidei adam. Even though the Sanhedrin was bought after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and we don't have mitot baked in, by the way, Gemara actually said it, Tosfos is bothered by this. Gemara says that actually was before the Korban that Sanhedrin left in order not to be dandin in the flesh, because of a Reboy rights statement. Tosfos suggested it could be that midei pam they would get together for a social emergency, or where there was events that wasn't. Where nogei ritzicha in general, maybe they would put together a Sanhedrin in the place in order to be done. So you can't say that it was bought completely, although he asked, and I guess the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan, he wasn't alive at the time, but he was dying in the fortress, analyzed 40 years before the Korban, that he wasn't dying, but it doesn't have to be according to the... Anyway, okay, but Lemaisa, we could just say that it's a... The Riboy Milsa. In other words, for sure, after the Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, there's no, you might think maybe after the Churban, there was Bechlal, no Akpar in the Shemayim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu just threw the whole thing out, you know. No, you should know that there was still Arba Mises. What do you mean there was still Arba Mises? Habatulu. What do you mean? There was no Arba. What I mean is, Eladin Arba Mitot Lo Batulu. A person who was Chayev Misa would still get Misa B'day Shemayim. In the way that the Beis Din would have, let's say, Mishnat Chayev Skila, he's Chayev Skila, he would fall from the roof. So, no film in Agag. Well, Chayador Asator is attacked by an animal that throws him down to the ground. Or Mishnat Chayev Srefa, maybe he falls into a fire, a Nochash bites him, and the Eretz of a Nochash burns.
So this is
Or Mishnah Chayiv Hariga is supposed to get his head cut off. So either he's given over to the Malchus, they like doing things like that, or the Listim get him by Malav, or he's Chayiv and Chenek, he could drown. Chonek, he's either Tovea Benar, or he's Meis Besarunki, he would get the diphtheria and choke to death. But, I mean, so we see that these things are also not called. So you're saying a lion, that's Chayad Arasato. Lion Ganve, that's called Nimsar Lede Ganavi. So that means that you're calling, you bedafka go out of your way to take what the Tana says and say the opposite. The Tana says, Tzinim Upachim is not B'dei Shemayim, you call it B'dei Shemayim. Then Rabbi Yosef is trying to show that the Aryeh and the Ganve is B'dei Shemayim, so you bedafka say it's B'dei Adam. What's the point of this? Okay, fine. April, all right? We'll switch it the other way around. Aryeh and Ganve, B'dei Shemayim, Tzinim Upachim, B'dei Adam. You're happy now. But the bottom line is the same. The Asan Lamaisa clearly goes on anything at all. In which case, Ruchani Benakonda says, Nafkamina, it's a tragedy. What's Nafkamina? If it's Bidei Shamayim or it's Bidei Adam. It all boils down to the same thing. The guy's going to lose his life. Tosis points out, by the way, it's very strange. There's an awful lot of rotten people out there who die peaceful deaths under the don't get no Tovea Benar.
After a long time. Huh? They last a long time.
They last a very long time. Yeah. I mean, it's only the good die young. Right. I mean, what's going on? He says, well, you know, maybe he has some kind of source. That's Taylor. Maybe he could do teshuva, or maybe he's so bad off he has to lose his olam haba. They have to punish him. After whatever. I mean, obviously, this doesn't mean a guarantee of any kind. It means that there's inyanim in which it's possible to find elements that are dinei shamayim that are look like. Events, but that they fit the chiyuvim, and that's also called an ason. That's all that we were referring to.
No, I was young. There were some kids. They didn't know I was Jewish, and this kid was talking about how he destroyed a shul or did something to the shul. And 1 week later, after I was obviously afraid of the situation, 1 week later he was crushed to death on a stone pylon at the one of those underpasses to a bridge. That guy.
Hey God.
I don't know. Stay out of Scott's way, Joe. Okay. Rava Amar. So this is how Abaye understands. Abaye understands that the beautiful raya of Rav Nachman ben Hakana is that in the Makar of Lo Yason Anosh Yanesh, we find Ason meaning not necessarily Bidei Adam, even though in that particular context it was Bidei Adam. Rava Amar. Time of the Rav Nachman ben Hakana Mihoch. I could show you a Beferish Pasuk that compares HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Karet with Misa. It says that someone who gave his child to Moloch, so you're supposed to kill him. Ima alem yalimu amoretz et enem, and ayishahu bitito mizar olam olech, v'samti ani et ponai b'yishahu b'mishpachto v'ichrati oto. So what is it saying? That if you guys do not take the guy to Bezdan and give him skila, then I will take care of it by giving him that karet. So you see clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that my karet is your skila, and it's the same thing. To Amra Torah, Karet Sheli, Kimita Shalachem. And if that's the case, Ma Mita Shalachem, Patur Menat Hashlomim, Tainez Rav Nachman Ben Hakana, Av Karet Sheli, Patur Menat Hashlomim. Now, Lamaisa, this makes a big difference, where we're going to learn it from, as the Gemara says. Ma'ika Ben Ravel Abaye, Ben Nafkamina. According to Abaye, the Raya is from Asom. And Asom can be anything at all that causes the guy to die. But according to Rava, the Raya is from Karet. Karet is very specific. And if it's not karet, let's say it's an aver that you're chayev mita bidei shamayim, but not karet. It's not included according to Rav, because it's only v'ichrati, but not stam chayev misa. So if that's the case, the nafkamina would be, let's say, a zar shachal truma. So a zar eats truma. So besides now, the truma belongs to somebody else. He's eating the truma. So if you hold that ason means even a chayev on which something happens that will give you Misa, so Misa B'dei Shamayim, this is Misa, in which case it's the equivalent of a Chi of Misa B'dei Adam. But if you hold, according to Rava, that the Diyak is V'hichrati, there's no din of V'hichrati when it comes to eating Truma, there's only a din of Mita B'dei Shamayim. And therefore, according to Abaye, you would be Potter, because Alibar of the Chuni Ben Hakana, you would be Potter because this is also the equivalent of the Chayve Misa B'dei Shamayim, is the same as Chi of Karet. Whereas according to Rava, you would still be chayiv, because it's not a case of karet.
Karet is defined as excision. And it's not the person specifically who's paying the price. It's defined differently. One of the other examples is that he dies without children. If he has children, yeah, they'll die before.
That's a machlokas Rashi and another Rishonim, although it does over here uba mishpachto, it says here. That's an interesting question. I mean, if lemaisa there is an afkamina, which according to many Rishonim there is, between a case of ariri and a case of karet, since it says over here b'mishpachto, so then you could tie into that according to Rava, any stam karet where it doesn't say mishpachto would be included. However, there's a Gemara that says that the mishpachto over here is not a reference to the din of the karet, but of the karet per se, but it's rather because they cover for him. As accessories to the crime, in which case it's a whole different issue, and therefore it wouldn't be so. But it's an interesting point that you bring up. But Lamaitz the Gemara clearly holds that the overarching issue is vichrati, and that in that it doesn't specify what the vichrati is. It's extreme prejudice. Mm. Yes. Don't say that around Scott, though. It's very extreme prejudice, let me tell you.
You're not a Stephen King character, are you?
It's even recorded on tape.
Okay. So the problem, however, the Gemara has, just hold on a second. How exactly does the case work? I don't get it. A guy steals truma from somebody, and he eats it. So, I mean, the eating has nothing to do with the stealing. I mean, first he stole it. The moment he stole it, he's chayav to pay. Well, what's the fact that afterwards he ate the truma have to do with the potter? I mean, that says beferish, amr of chiz. Yes, the Gemara, I buy a potter. What? You'd be potter paying for the truma? I mean, how about Rav Chis himself pointed out that certainly moderim, the chunim and hakana, in a case where a guy was gonev chelbo shel chaveiro, ba'ochlo, shel chayav, you stole chelev that belonged to somebody, and you ate that chalev, and that was b'chayev you karet. So therefore what? So because you ate the chalev, you're b'chayev and karet, you're plotter for stealing chalev in the first place? Of course not.
It's two different things.
It's two different things. You'll have to pay for the chalev, because shkvarnet chayev b'gneva, konam shabali deyisur chalev. You were chayev first for taking it, and then you ate it. One is not do the other. So, alma, to me'idna, the agbe ekanye, m'chayev enav shalo aviyad ha'achalei. So you see that, I mean, the obvious logic is, you pick something up, the moment that you pick it up in order to keep it, so that's now a kinyan of Geneva, and now you have to, you're chayav to pay. But you're not chayav ben afshor the karet, obviously, until you actually eat it. So why isn't that the same thing by truma? As you were talking about according to Libera and Nechunim and Akana, be'idna da agbe. So you took the truma, belonged to a kohen, you picked it up, you were koneit, and then you're chayav now to pay him. As far as the mitchayav ben afshor, it was a completely different action. Lo aviyad de ochalei. So I don't. Well, how is this a practice? It's not a logistically realistic nafkamina b'chir roman about. You're telling me theoretically a chiyav mita b'day shemayim. Understand the case over there is you lit the guy's field on Shabbos, so the act of the lighting was the act that's b'chayev you for the nezek, and also the act that's b'chayev you for the chilul Shabbos. But you can't bring me a case where it just doesn't work out logistically. You'll be chayev in the gneva before. Says the Gemara, well, no. I mean, is that your problem with logistics? I mean, we're working out logistically. Maybe the case would be, let's say, tochavlo chaveiro l'toch piv. Guy takes a piece of truma, and he puts it into your mouth. So when he puts it into your mouth, you never did a hagbaha. So now at this point, you swallow it. In swallowing it, you're both kone and you're chayiv. So why can't that be the case? No, I mean, because sof, kiven de la'ase. Wait a minute. You start chewing on this thing. Now, you're not going to be chayev. If you would chew on something and spit it out, you're not going to be chayev for eating. That's not going to eat it, right? But the moment that you chew it, you certainly have ruined it. So, I mean, at that point, it's no longer returnable. Right? So at that point, you now are chayev to pay. But you're not going to be chayev until you swallow it for the iser achila. So, by the way, this is interesting implications in terms of the dinim of how fast you have to eat your matzah. Does it start with the chewing or does it start with the swallowing? Big questions of that. I mean, over here, the Gemara seems to be saying there's two separate things. The chewing, that's not the din of the achila. The achila comes only after when you're swallowing. But it's not really a right at all. I mean, there's a lot of discussion among the achronim, but there are rishonim, but say Feirish, that it's not included. That it's the chewing is not considered to be part of the swallowing. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that case. But Lemaisa, from here, it's no raya, because as we're going to see tomorrow, on tomorrow's daf, that any act that could be stopped, even if where it wouldn't have been stopped, it all would have been one act, is not considered to be the same act as that which followed. Over here, you could have stopped and not swallowed it. So you can't say that the Le'isa is Mechayev. Even though afterwards, when you do swallow it, the Le'isa may be part of the Achila, but that doesn't mean it's going to be something that was Mechayev you, Le'gabi Le'kam Le'bit Rabim. It's not really the same. But it's interesting. I mean, this sugya is operative on Chometz B'Pesach, which is, maybe it's part of the Tetvav Gzera Shava, you know. We're learning it today. Anyway, so that's not a good case either, because when you chew it, you're kind of it. Mitchayev and Avsho Lohavi, you're not chayev nita b'deshamayim unless you actually swallow it. Okay, but you know, do we have to get down into the nitty gritty over here? So tochav lo l'tog beit ablia, right? The guy, he didn't put it in your mouth. He put it all the way back in the back of your mouth, which now either you're going to swallow it or you're not going to swallow it. You swallow it, the kinyan comes. The same moment that you ate it. Well, ask the Gemara. Well, I don't get it. What's the case? Now, at this point, Lamaisa, you would not be chayev for the act of stealing. You could be chayev for the hana that you got from it. But let's take a look. So, Gemara, what's the case? Can you cough it back up? So then cough it back up. Nahadir. I mean, if you can't cough it back up, so then you're the one who's being mazikit, right, at that point. I mean, the first one says, look, I didn't do anything. I didn't steal anything. All I did was stick it in the back of the guy's mouth. All he needed to do was gag and spit it out. So don't come to me with time. He's the guy that damaged it by not spitting it out. So he owes you the money, not me. So then at that point, now the first one should not be chayiv. Okay, so then he should have spit it out. So then that's the moment before swallowing it that he's chayiv. If he wasn't able to, and so then am I chayiv? Why would he be chayiv? Isn't he, like, it's out of his hands? I mean, why would he be chayiv? Lo tzrich, then the other guy did do it. If I put it, I basically put it into your stomach. If I put it into, I put it into a place where you can't possibly get it back out again. So then it's the same thing as saying I put it into his stomach. So therefore, he's chayiv. I'm chayiv. And I was the one who was mafsid it, and then he ate completely ba'ones, and there's no issue. It wasn't even an act of his achila. Says the Gemara, lo tzrich the mitzvah l'adurei al yidei atchak. Over here, he could spit it back out, but believe me, nobody's going to want to eat it at that point. Okay. So he's not considered to be a goslin, because the other guy messed it up, since he put it into a position where the only way I can get it out is by vomiting it out. I mean, that's not called use. That's called yuck. Exactly.
No, it's like a Zadie.
It's actually interesting that Tosfos Tainas that you see from other Gemaras that what you don't know doesn't hurt you.
Nobody else.
I mean, you know, it's like in restaurants, right? You're eating in restaurants. Oh, you guys, you go to restaurants. So, you know, so what's the point? I mean, so Tosfos says, Ein Hachanan, it's talking about that it was precisely worth a Shavu Peruta. So there's going to be some Me'isa that's going to have to come off and so on, that's already, it's going to be worth less than a Shavu Peruta. So then already you can't be Mekayim the Chazora, and you ruined now the thing. Okay. But in any event, over here, what we're talking about is that he could have spit it back up. So now the only question is, the gzeila mamish is not the issue. The issue is hana'at me'av. Even where a person is potter on gzeila, somebody else did the act, if he's nene from somebody else's thing, he has to pay for the hana'at that he had. So in this case, the shaila is, does he have to pay for the hana'at? Or do we say, but for that hana'at, was mitchayev, achiv of misa b'dei shamayim. According to Abaye, he should be potter. Rav Papa says, what do we need to get all into this yucky stuff with the food and everything? Why can't you just put a little wine in his mouth? I mean, that would be wine. When you spit out a liquid, I mean, for sure it's Moe's. The moment, so the only there, you don't have to deal with the question of how far you put it into his mouth. So it's like, fine in terms of the ezek and so on, the first guy's chayav. But how about the hana'a when he swallows the wine? So over there, he's harinene, so he should pay the value of the hana'av. Obviously, the value of hana'av is not necessarily the value of the food. I mean, the value of the hana'av me'av could be a lot less than the value of the actual food on the market. But whatever it is, it's something. Do I have to pay that value or not? That's a simple case. If I put wine into his mouth at that point, even if he would spit it out, thank you very much. So, okay, so now the shaylas are, but you swallowed it. Do you have to pay for the hana'ah in your drinking it or not?
If the guy doesn't want it, he's on a diet, didn't want it, but
got hana'ah. Oh, we all know. We hope it happens. We don't want it, but we hope it happens, right? Isn't that the biggest problem in doing tshuva? We don't want it, but we hope it happens. That's the bottom line.
Dieting is first step in tshuva. Granted, he got benefit,
but he didn't want that benefit.
Some, it could be. The Gemara talks about those cases where it's damaging to him in some way or so on. And if you know any things that are damaging, is that called or not?
And with
eating, no, talks about that. There are cases like that, sure. As a matter of fact, there's even discussion over here about whether this really is called. It's considered to be a achila. Is this more like achila gasa? It's coming out. Okay. I mean, these discussions are there in this case. Yeah.
The first person puts the wine in his mouth. The other guy's mouth.
He's chayef for nezek.
Right. Now, the fellow who swallows it has to pay for the hana'ah.
Right.
Who does he pay?
If the first guy was kinyan, so then Enochinami would have to pay for the. If there was a kinyan, yeah, it depends how we view it. It's on nezek, right? She learns it's a din of nezek over here because the other guy may not have intended to be kinyan in any way. He did something that caused nezek to the next guy. So, all right. So Rav Papa says it's a simple case. Rav Ashi says, what are we getting into? All of these complicated things. All you guys are making an assumption. It was a wrong assumption. Your assumption is that the same action has to be involved in the chiyav of misa, or the chiyav of misa b'nei shamayim, or karet, as in the action of the mechayev of the moment. Who's to say that it's a din in an act? How do you know it's not a din in simultaneity? Not in the act. So why can't we simply say, forget about the complication of paying anybody. This guy owns the truma. He's a czar that's being ochel truma mishalo. He could have inherited this truma from his grandpa, Cohen. That's no problem. Okay, so he inherits this truma, and now he eats the truma at the same time that he cuts your coat. Swallows the truma, cuts your coat at the same time. The karash shiroin shel chavero, at the moment that he swallows it. So over there, you're right, the misa has nothing to do with the mamay, but, now Rashi says a very interesting thing, but this is called mita lezeh v'tashlomim lezeh. And a buyer holds mita lezeh v'tashlomim lezeh is also pater. So if you have two different chiyuvim, we can't be mechayev you if simultaneously you were doing something that was chayev misa. Tosis bitterly disagrees with this agdora that it's called lezeh v'lezeh. And he shows that, first of all, to say that that's the nafkamina between Rav and Abaye would be ridiculous. Because Rav's sheet all over is that mita lezeh v'tashlumim lezeh, you're not pater. So therefore, it has nothing to do with machlokas abaye v'rava in terms of kares and misa. It has to do with the question of whether this is called the kitz kimli b'rabi minei at all. Besides the fact that he disagrees with the etzem hagadora, the fact that something is two different maisim is not called mita lezeh v'tashlumim lezeh. This is a very interesting sugya. I mean, it's so off of the beaten track of ksuvas. I just need to mention, I mean, one very, very interesting nekuda. The case that we bring as Rav Yochanan ben Hakanan's mekor, which is the equivalent of ason that Abaye is bringing, over there the halacha is that when he pays the meiv ladot, he pays the meiv ladot to the man, and he's chayev misa for the death of the woman. So even the etzem case is a case of tashlum and lezeh and misa lezeh. That's what Stein is, if you just look at it in that way. So why isn't that a case of simultaneity? Right there. Fascinating. I mean, unless you say, as he suggests, maybe the fact that it's one body means that it can't be called lezeh or lezeh, even though the tashruma goes to another person. But we see that in the Ikra Halacha, it's not so poshut that there's any innate connection between the misa and the tashruma. And nonetheless, the Torah is saying, imi yason, your potter. It's not the way we think. We're prejudiced to think that on this single act, it's sort of like a double jeopardy kind of thing in our mind. But that's not it at all. There's something else that's at work over here, which when we get to the sugya of Kamli B'Rabim Nei directly, where it's and talk about Al-Ri Misha'achas Atamachayev, Al-Gavi Malkas, and all of these in Yonim, then we can get into these sugyas and makas Kedai to get into these sugyas. But it's Kedai to mention, because over here the Gemara brings this marker, Kedai to mention how interesting it is that the issues actually are merumas in the very marker in the Torah itself. Omrev, Gufa, Omrev. Ah, maybe we should do that tomorrow. Otherwise it'll go on some way. Yeah.
That was nice. Right?